nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a goon?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
f***ing. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne the God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Wake up, wake up.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Mike, what's up, Mike?
Man, what's going on, man?
What's the matter, man? Get it off your chest, bro.
Man, it's pretty simple, man. It's just like, I don't understand why some of these rednecks, because I do construction, I operate heavy machinery, right? So it just seems like these rednecks always got to try to push buttons because you're smarter than they are trying to get you fired, man. I almost went on somebody yesterday.
What they say to you?
So I get there, like, I operate a loader. So we had all this pipe that we got to put in the ground, and a lot of it had to be front, and there was somebody else missing. So because somebody's missing, I was like, hey, listen, man, I need some help. I'm not going to do all of this by myself. So we just start popping off at the mouth. You think you're better than me or something like that? Just talking all super cushy.
You think you better than me or something like that, boy? You don't know how to handle all that pipe? Huh?
Basically crazy junk like that. I don't want to go into complete detail about what he said, but he almost got punched in his head.
You don't know how to handle that pipe, boy? Huh? Well, you don't know how to lay that pipe down?
Well, I'm glad you didn't knock him out, man, because you need your job, I'm sure.
You need me to show you how to lay that pipe, boy?
Shut up, Solomon.
Exactly. Thank you. I'm glad you finally told him to shut up.
We used to lay pipe to your kind all the time, boy.
But now,
yeah,
let me
I'll
ask
lay pipe,
you.
But not that kind of pipe.
I'll lay pipe to you, boy. I'll break your little buck, boy.
Now, if you catch him outside of work, can you still get fired?
No, of course not. He's going to get these paws on them jaws.
Well, paws on them jaws.
What you going to put on my jaws,
paws,
boy?
On them jaws.
What you say you want to do with my jaws?
Oh, my goodness.
These paws. Shut up, Charlamagne. Get a life.
You said balls. These balls.
Oh, my goodness. Have a good one, man. You don't take nothing serious, do you? Hello, who's this?
It's T.
T, get it off your chest, bro.
What's going on, man? You want to call, tell you guys good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Angela.
Hi.
Okay, Angela, this is my thing.
Uh-oh.
We really need to hear this E-Mix. I want to push for that.
Talk to Envy.
I don't think it's fair that when you're out, you got DJ Envy doing a horrible job doing a rumor report and front page news.
I agree with you.
When
he's out, do it.
You should be able to do his mix.
Now, I don't want to
don't
do
really like
movies.
Me. Envy, you know, he actually really values his mix. It's very important to him, and truthfully, between me and you, I do a better job. So
I know, and we really want to hear. It's a lot of people down here in Jacksonville that want to hear.
Why don't you come up here and do it, T?
Damn, why you hating on the
E-Mix? Hey, why you get so mad at T?
Why are you so mad?
Why are you so mad?
What you so mad for?
To come up here and do the mix when I'm not here.
Damn, Envy
cool,
Morgan.
Damn.
Wow, Envy Morgan got hot just now with the mention of Angela Haddish.
T. You want to do that?
He wants you to suck his mix.
Jesus Christ.
T, you want to do that, T?
Damn.
I can do it.
Damn it, man.
Oh,
I was
my
thinking
God.
His number and everything. He just hung up.
Wow.
No way. If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
How you feel about craft services?
I didn't know.
Envy Morgan.
I was going to have T. He didn't hold on long enough. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Alaya from Charleston, South Carolina.
843, what's happening? Alaya. Low country, what's happening?
What's up, mama?
I'm good. Okay, so I just need to get it off my chest. Okay, I just got a new job, so I moved to Greenville, South Carolina. There are so many snakes around here.
What do you mean, like physical snakes or like human beings?
No, physical snakes.
Oh.
Like, I guess somebody had some pets or something, and they released them in the woods, so they've been coming out all over the place. And there was this really long one, like the size of like three lanes on the interstate. And these white people trying to catch them as pets.
So now you scared of big ass snakes, huh?
You know what? The only time I ever seen a snake get killed was when my granddaddy went outside and chopped the head off,
There you go. You from South Carolina? You know we chopped that head off and then hold that snake for everybody to come look at.
Charlamagne ain't talking that type of snake either. He ain't talking about that type of snake, mama. He talking about the one-eyed snake, I'm sure.
I ain't talking about no one-eyed snake. What's wrong with you? Why are you thinking about one-eyed snakes early this morning?
No, that's what you said.
I ain't say nothing.
You ain't never seen a snake before,
I ain't say nothing. You are kinky. Don't start that this morning,
Shut
now.
Shut up, man.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just going to chalk that up to everybody being tired this morning.
Thank you, mama. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up, wake up.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Chanel Doris.
calling from South Dakota. I'm from Florida, but I'm not a crazy one.
Okay.
Hold on. Did you just say you calling from South Dakota, from Florida? What did you say?
But you're not a crazy one.
I'm calling from South Dakota, but I'm from Florida.
Got you.
But okay. I ain't crazy.
All right.
I want to say good morning to all three of y'all. I love y'all. Listen to y'all every morning. Every
Buenos dias.
Thank you for having no taste. Yeah.
Sacrifice to all my Zos. I want to shout out
Ni hama.
D2DTops.com.
I thought you talked another language of me. I didn't know that.
Oh, no. That's my business. D2DTops.com. Follow me on Instagram. D2DTops_
D2DTops.
Yeah. D2D_tops.
Is that a sex
and I'm
site?
I'm super nervous. Yeah, that's my website.
Why is it D2D? What does that mean?
Oh, my goodness.
That's determined to demonstrate, as in, I thought of this business, and now I'm pursuing it and I'm doing it.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was like a D2D for tops.com.
Yee's kinky this morning. Hello.
Hello.
Get it off your chest.
When it comes down to taking their kids, it's crazy to me, especially when it's like they're coming here for a better life.
Oh,
I mean, my parents are immigrants. I said my parents are immigrants also. They're not from, Mexico, but I could just imagine being ripped away from my parents just because they're trying to start a better life.
Were your parents undocumented immigrants, though?
No.
That's the difference. That's the difference. No, stop. That's the difference.
They came here first as undocumented.
Right. Oh, okay. And then they were able to get their citizenship.
Okay.
They were able to because of Reagan. And I do feel as if you were here when Reagan was in office, that's your negligence not to get your green card because he was just giving them away.
True indeed. I mean, that's why I said I'm torn about the situation because on one hand, you do have empathy for people escaping to get a better life. But then on the other hand, they are breaking the law. So it's not like the people are like doing anything unjust to them.
Danny!
Hey, what's up?
Get it off your chest, Danny.
I'm on the radio right now.
Yes, you are.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, I just want to give a big shout out to my girlfriend, Crystal. You know, we've been together for over 3 years now, and she got herself back into school, and she wants to become a nurse.
Dope.
That's dope. She's going to be a nurse, man, giving other men sponge baths. I love that.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Charlamagne, I want to give you a big shout out, man. She, you know, honestly, you know, being with her, she's done a lot for me. And one of the big things she's done is she buys me books, and she bought me a book, and I've been reading it.
Oh, she's a keeper.
When I finish it, I'll try to call back and talk to you about it. But
thank you.
Now, you know, I really appreciate your book. And Angelie, DJ Envy, everything you guys do, man, everything is amazing. And I just want to tell everybody out there, whoever's hearing, you know, in life, you got to keep moving. You can't stop. If you want to get somewhere in life, you just got to work hard for it.
100% right, my brother. Got to keep those feet moving. Thank you for calling, man.
Thank you, brother. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Janelle.
Hey, boo.
Hi. So we're going to do something different today.
And which is?
You're going to be so mad.
I'm not on the show?
All right. So what happened is Charlamagne left because he had to be somewhere, and then Envy was like, I'm not staying, and he left too.
He disrespected me like that?
I feel bad because I know we always joke around.
Yeah, and I just put his. All right, what can we do? I'll do whatever you need now, but I won't be on even locally.
I'm sorry, I feel bad. We're just playing with you. His lips started trembling.
Yo, y'all ain't shit. He said, I'm not even gonna be a local. I'm not even gonna be a local. No.
Donnell said, what can we do?
I was only a minute away from saying, F Envy, I'm unfollowing him.
He was like,
I heard it.
He said he disrespected
me.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. And again, we got our guy.
First off, y'all not The Breakfast Club. Y'all the evil club. This ain't even April Fool's.
I'm not evil like that. Now, we wanted to play a little prank on you, but
you
felt bad. Your lips started quivering.
My lips didn't quiver.
Your lips quivered a little bit.
What I've learned to be in my career is a problem solver. We all deal with problems, right?
True indeed.
But how do we deal with the problems and we solve them? So when Angela Yee told me that both of y'all had walked out on my interview. Of course,
correct.
I was disrespectful. I thought I was disrespected. I wanted to talk about how you're never supposed to trust light-skinned people like that. And I gave you a pass. And I was like, I thought it was serious. I was trying to problem solve it. Like, how do I be able to do the Breakfast Club interview, and that's when they let me know that y'all played a joke on me.
Your eyes got watery. I felt
that. Angela couldn't hold it.
I'm an actor. Because, look, I know your son, Austin. Right. I saw Austin's little
Shout
face.
Shout out to Austin. I love you, man. I really thought y'all was being disrespectful. And it really hurt me because me and you talk all the time.
All the time. That's my guy.
And I'm like this. He couldn't give me a heads up or anything. And I was like, that's how it is. But,
see? If we'd waited 5 more minutes, we'd have got all of that on camera. Charlamagne couldn't text me?
It was coming.
Kevin Hart really did buy these chairs.
Yeah, yes, he did.
Because it's built in for the Kevin Hart size.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. This is when you know Kevin Hart is upset when he starts talking with his thumbs and his fingers.
What did you think about all of that from a comedian, an OG comedian like yourself?
I think, first off, enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? I've listened to all the interviews, and I definitely think it's unfortunate because all the people that are in the beef are successful.
That's the crazy part.
You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, sometimes people don't respect everybody's come up.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's easy for people to say, well, that's just my opinion. But everybody on the outside wants you to have a humble opinion. Mm. They want you to be humbled by it. I listened to the cat on another station.
What did you think about that when he was shooting at Tiffany Haddish and everything?
First off, the first thing I thought was crazy was how the host, Wanda. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I thought that, you know, when he said, you're not a good interviewer, I agree with him 100%. You know what I'm saying? She was trying to put him in a corner. We all know what the demons that Cat Williams has dealt with. You know what I'm saying? And me traveling and doing morning radio every time. After a while, you get sick of the same question. And she was trying to put him in that situation where he reacted like that, and he reacted. Now, on the comedian side of it, I speak the comedian language. I kind of understood what Cat Williams was trying to say. People get to a certain level, certain route. You know what I'm saying? Has Tiffany Haddish been on a 100-city tour? No. You know what I'm saying? Has Tiffany Haddish been a headlining comedian across the country? No. But she had a different path. Mm-hmm. But everybody else was out on the street. Tiffany Haddish was out there. She was auditioning. Now, that could have been a question. How many auditions did you have before you got there? Her path, she's a TV star. And I think
TV
and the movie star. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
but she started on stage, though.
But she started on stage. But what Cat Williams was trying to compare was, she was trying to compare the people that have been on the grind for years and years and years, banging out an hour of comedy every night. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Before Tiffany Haddish blew up, she was, and this is no disrespect, I love her, she was a feature. She was a strong feature headlining. I remember one time she asked me, Donnell, can I get some role work? This was like 3 or 4 years ago. But at the same time, she sacrificed going on the road to commit to being an actor, to putting herself in a position. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the things that Cat Williams said, I could have respected more if he would have said, I appreciate her hustle. She started when she was 15. She was a foster kid. You know what I'm saying? How many success stories you know of people that came from foster homes that have made it? If he would acknowledge that, I would have kind of understood some of the things he said. I think that was, throughout that whole interview, I think that was the most unfortunate part about it, because you got to give her a prop.
All right, we got more with Donnell Rawlins. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Donnell Rawlins is in the building.
Would you consider Chappelle a gatekeeper?
I wouldn't consider him a gatekeeper. I consider him as a person that can make opportunities. Mm-hmm. Of course he can make opportunities. And the thing is, a lot of times, the reason why people don't want to give another man opportunities is because they're afraid that that person is going to outshine them. And
surpass
testament
him. Yep.
To Dave's character, and I consider myself a beast on stage. Dave will put me on the road. The average headliner is not with me. And for Dave, when I'm on the show with him, nobody knows that I'm there. They're like DJ Trauma, who's normally the resident DJ.
Shout out
to DJ Trauma. But he'll be like, okay, guys, we get ready to start the show. We got a special guest. You see him on the wire. You get a couple claps. You see him in Spider-Man 2, you get a couple claps. But then he'll say, but you fell in love with him as Ashy Larry from the Chappelle Show, and the room goes ape. The average headliner is not going to want anybody to get that reception before they go on. Mm-hmm. I go up there, I do my thing, and then him being the person he is, he come right behind it. Two different styles.
Everything you're saying is accurate, except for the crowd going ape.
No. You must not be in my there. Show.
No, they did go crazy for Donnell. And
not
part
ape.
Of it,
you know what he sound like?
Ape.
You know what he sound like? A hater.
Yeah.
And you know a hater, they always start these sisters off like this. I mean, they went ape. But they didn't go
You know what I really enjoy watching you perform in, like, the smaller venues?
The Radio City Music Hall, those big venues like that, they're the showcase venues, you know? But if you really want to see a test of a true comic, like you say, find them in an intimate environment.
Yeah.
Find them in the smallest situation.
It's probably like 70 people.
It was a.
That's the downtime Envy was talking about.
He got to practice somewhere.
Quick story. There's a celebrity chef. I won't say that name. Celebrity chef. My son, when I was having my son's baby shower, I wanted this celebrity chef to, you know, like come and help me with the food for my son's baby shower. So I reached out to the chef. And we were all good. And then at the last minute, they pulled away. Ooh. And the example they gave me, they was like, I don't know, there's big time. He was like, Donnell, I don't do open mics. Like, they're too big to
do baby showers. Right?
I don't do open mics.
You just blow a kiss at Donnell's show.
I'm blowing a kiss at Carolina. No, man.
You blew a kiss at Donnell.
You see how disrespectful the Breakfast Club is, son?
No.
How you in
the house? Carolina,
Why did you blow Donnell's kiss? Oh my God, this is so disrespectful, man. Well, Donnell, did I blow a kiss at you?
Thank you for joining us, Donnell.
He think I blew a kiss at him.
How you doing?
Sorry.
He think I blew a kiss at him.
All right, back to your story about what were you
talking about? The celebrity.
He was telling a story. What telling a story?
I ain't no story.
He said you're gonna be at Caroline's this week.
This story doesn't end with you deciding to cook because you cannot cook.
I don't want to talk about that. I can't.
So go ahead.
But here's the story. So the celebrity chef, I guess they had got to a point where they was too big for certain things. They on TV and everything, and it was like, Donnell, I don't do open mics. Do you do open mics? Do you continue to do open mics? I said,
yes.
Not only I continue to do open mics. I had just did a show at Radio City Music Hall, 6,500 people, got off stage, got in the car, and went to Brownsville and performed for 15 people.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you can't never stop sharpening your toolbox. You can't never stop sharpening your
toolbox. How would you sharpen the toolbox?
By performing.
You were sharpening the tools, not the toolbox.
What's wrong with you, man?
Y'all, y'all got so many people up here that y'all don't put this pressure on, son. Y'all know I'm not good at reading out loud. Y'all know I don't do that.
Used to do radio together, right? We used to have reading contests. We used to bet each other.
No, it wasn't a contest. You never was in it. You just bet on me. Bet against me.
I got $50. You can't read this paragraph without stuttering.
Okay.
And it's about you.
It's about you.
Donna Rollins is an actor and writer from Washington, D.C. He's well known for being a cast member on The Chappelle Show. He made an impact on the show with his character, Ashley Larry, and his iconic phrase, I'm rich, bitch! I threw that in there. He has a series of sketch comedy clips on his From Ashley Classy album. Rollins has had multiple successful shows at Radio City Music Hall. He has made appearances on The Wire and Spider-Man 2. He was in the Air Force for 4 years. Rollins is also a police officer in Washington. He was a police officer.
I didn't know you was a cop. I was a police officer
in the Air Force waiting to become a police officer in D.C.
And what happened?
I used to work for this grocery company. I used to be head of security for this grocery company, and as a form of camaraderie, we would go to the comedy connection to Greenbelt, and we would go to the club. And I used to heckle the comedians on stage. So we used to go every week, and I became popular as a heckler. Comedians would come to me like, yo, could you let me work out my material? Don't mess with me today. And I became so good at a heckler that the club owner wanted to shut me up. This is how I started. He dared me to go on stage. I wasn't excited about doing it then. 2 weeks later, I went on stage, and the rest was history.
So you was a troll then, originally?
Oh, yeah, I was 100%. People started coming to see me heckle.
You had a gun?
In the Air Force. I was the worst cop ever, man. I made one stop in 4 years. And that was
this stop?
It was this girl, and this was before the whole Me Too thing, gosh. And she was scantily dressed.
Scantily clad.
Yes. You know this. And I pulled over to get her phone number, and that's the only arrest I ever made.
You arrested her?
Yeah, I arrested her.
She told you no?
I'm not following that. You're not going to have me on CNN 20 years later, son. You trying to get evidence, son. You asking some Kavanaugh questions, son. I don't know what you talking about. I don't remember anything.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building.
Yes, yeah.
Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart.
In the building. Hey, why you screaming, man? I'm happy to see them too, but exciting. Damn, bro.
Energetic. I like it.
Kevin here complaining about chairs that he bought, saying that the chairs won't go up no higher.
I'm not complaining about the chairs that I bought. I just don't understand when you guys know I'm coming. You should have my setting ready. You know what?
You bought those chairs.
It's not about what I bought. It's about what I need. I told you that. I'm not saying that you got to make it a public thing, but put a pillow under here.
Tiffany,
you want
seems
a pillow?
Fine.
Give him a pillow. That's too late.
Tiffany,
yeah, my torso's longer.
Yeah, Tiffany's taller. It's fine. Let's not make a thing out of it. I'm okay. Okay. How you guys doing? How are you doing?
I don't know where to start with y'all.
Let's start.
What's going on?
Night school, first of all.
Let's start there.
Good business.
Let's start there. Night school, hitting theaters, September 28th. Excited. Why? I'll tell you why. First
did you ask
movie.
Yourself a question?
You goddamn right,
ask
I did.
A question.
You goddamn right.
Let him handle this.
You goddamn right.
Spoke to himself.
I can segue in and out of whatever the hell I want to talk about smoothly too. Reason why is because this is the first movie underneath my production umbrella, Heartbeat Productions.
Woo.
Taking it a step further, you know, from just being the talent, turning the business notch up, and in doing so, I wanted to put myself in a position to win, so I teamed up with my guy Will Power Packer again. Mm-hmm. This is our seventh movie together, 4 number ones, 2 number twos. Hopefully we're talking about one more number one. Mm-hmm. And coming off of a number one success, I said, dude, it makes no sense to not have Tiffany Haddish be a part of my first movie.
Hey.
Especially understanding her story and where she's coming from. Mm-hmm. So we casted Tiffany in the movie, along with another amazing group of actors and actresses. The list is too long to name. And, you know, right now we're talking about something that was built from the ground up.
How much money have you and Will made together so far?
It's a lot of money, buddy.
7, 6 movies?
It's a lot of money. We don't need to get in the numbers.
Okay.
It's up there.
It's up there.
Now, why night school? Have you ever been to night school, either of you?
I can tell you the whole story behind night school and the reason behind it is something that I think people will be able to relate to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a movie about second chances. Mm-hmm. In life, so many people do things the first time around and may or may not get it right, and in doing so, you feel like it's over. In this particular case, education is the forefront of the story, and so many people that don't embrace education properly end up going back to have to do it again. And what you find out is when you embrace it the second time, you do it correctly, and the opportunities in life are still there, and it may even be more. This is a movie that embraces that. This is a movie that highlights that. And we do it from a funny perspective, but that people can relate to.
I'm proof of that. I got my diploma in night school.
I'm so well spoken. And that's what we're going to, as we go on. Yeah, so
how were you guys as students in school in real life?
I was okay. I was all right.
You did good.
I had a 2.5 grade average.
There you go.
Is that good?
That's not all right.
2.5?
That's I graduated. I had a lot of credits because I went to summer school every year. So.
You can see my
level. You had to go to summer school every year, too? Did you
because,
fail?
No, because I didn't want to get in any trouble. And it was boys in summer school.
Okay.
You can see my level of education. I celebrated the 2.5. I said,
yes.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Now, listen, we hear these conversations about equal pay in Hollywood. And Tiff and Kev, y'all both are on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work out?
Look, I know what the conversations are.
Oh.
You know, look, I'm all about the female growth, you know, especially in entertainment. You know, I think that women and the voices that are coming from these women should be heard. And the opportunity should be given.
So what about
that money,
part?
Though?
Yeah.
Was it equal pay?
I don't think so. But you know what? He's producing on it and
it
whatnot.
Is.
Okay, you know, okay. But we both just got houses. You know, his house is in the hills somewhere. We can't find it. My house is in South Central.
No, look, I think that the conversation is one that needs to be had. Mm-hmm. And now that it's being had, you're going to see more opportunities for women to get what they've been requesting and what they deserve. I think it's all project dependent. It's all about the level of stars that you're dealing with. And, you know, you have to understand
Do you know what your level is, though?
Well, within box office draw. What people ignore is that within a talent, this box office draw and this box office success.
Tiff is the biggest star in the movie, so she should be.
You know what? If that's what people felt.
I did just win a Emmy.
Then I would say.
You didn't just see a radio personality get roasted early this week.
Oh,
huh?
Right.
Okay, keep it up. Keep pushing. It's good. I like this. Keep going.
Listen, I would bow down to my sister if that was the case. I'll tell you the difference in OK Heart, and I use this as a segue.
All right.
Okay? The difference in me, if that was the case, there is no reason to put a dimmer on that light.
True.
The reason why I say that is because I've been there. I'm there. I sit in the chair. I've sat in this chair for a long time. Naturally, there's other people that will come behind and will surpass wherever you are. In this business, when that happens, you support it. Especially when you're coming from a position where there's been a demand for people of color to get a shot. Mm-hmm. So here's my frustration, because I know you're going to get into it. Let me tell you my frustration.
Can I ask you a question first?
No.
Here's my frustration,
okay? I'm going to tell you what's been on my mind, what's been on my heart heavy.
I was just trying to sell the movie first.
I want to talk about the movie's sold. Okay. The movie's going to be sold, okay? Night School, September 28th, goddammit.
Check it out.
All right, now I want to get to what's really bothering me.
Okay.
I want to ask black people what we want. Mm-hmm. What do we want? We complain that people of color weren't getting opportunities in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. We were getting ignored for the Oscars, for the Emmys. Mm-hmm. It was a big thing. After that big thing, people of color got recognized for their hard work, for their efforts, and run awards. People of color also won Emmys. Mm-hmm. People of color are now being given opportunities to star, to lead in various projects.
Well, just the ugly people, according to some.
Just according to some.
Okay.
When the people of color get these opportunities,
at all,
why are the people of color the ones that are tearing the people that are getting the opportunities down? Mm-hmm. My frustration comes from, you don't realize when I preach about the crabs in the barrel mentality, that eventually we have to take responsibility for our actions. Mm-hmm. So if I'm looking at people that share my craft, I'm going to bring up the people that Cat Williams named. Mm-hmm. Little Rel, Gerard Carmichael, mm-hmm. Hannibal Buress, myself, Tiffany Haddish.
Correct.
Little Rel is seeing so much success after doing his special Relevant. He went on to do Get Out. He now has a show that he's producing and starring in on Fox. Gerard Carmichael had his own show that he starred, wrote, produced. Gerard Carmichael was on to a second special. Hannibal Buress saw success within comedy specials and is now doing various movies where he's getting the opportunity to have features and to have a mm-hmm. presence. Me, Kevin Hart, the guy that sits on top right now, mm-hmm. have taken advantage of all the money that I have. I've shot over 56 specials for the up-and-coming generation of comedy. Why? Because I'm trying to create opportunities for others. Rather than complaining about it, mm-hmm. I'm fixing it. Mm-hmm. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Mm-hmm. I also take full responsibility for any and everything that I've done in the business, mm-hmm. good or bad.
All right, we have more with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. But don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got special guests in the building, Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart.
Go off, Kevin. Go off.
My frustration with Cat Williams comes from, you keep pointing at Hollywood. Hollywood this, the white man, this, this, and this. When do you take responsibility for your actions? You had the shot.
Cat was in that position at one
you
point.
You were the guy. Yeah. You were set up to be the star. You didn't show up to work. You f***ed off promo shoots. You became a risk to the studios, which is why the studios stopped f***ing with you.
Why was he a risk?
He chose drugs.
Oh, okay.
Take responsibility for what you chose and say, you know what? I got to fix me, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to stand up for comedy. Mm-hmm. So when you say Tiffany Haddish doesn't deserve or isn't really a comedian, and these other women have worked hard, which they have. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to Melanie Camacho. Shouts out to Lunell. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to Leslie Jones, who are all underneath the umbrella of Cat Williams. Cat Williams, have you ever used your platform to f***ing bring the people that were under you up? Mm. You haven't. So because you haven't, don't f*** on those that now are. I've used my platform, and I've brought my guys and girls up. Mm-hmm. The brand of Kevin Hart is a brand that's expanded so f***ing far, whether you like me or not, my presence in comedy will forever be felt because I'm a f***ing boss. Mm. I sit on the top of it, and the opportunities that I'm giving are the ones that I'm creating. Mm. So take responsibility for what you did. You f*** you. Nobody else did. You don't hear Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, the Kings of Comedy, Seinfeld. You don't hear George Lopez, mm-hmm. Eddie Griffin. Who else can I go down the road of other comedians? Steve Martin, Martin Short. You don't hear Naeem. The guys that got on top mm-hmm. and that made it by doing what they love. Complain about the people that are coming under them. Mm-hmm. The reason why is because they're happy with themselves. Mm. Don't blame everybody else for your shit. Don't shit on my sister Light because you're not happy with your shit. This shit is earned. It's not given. I don't give a shit if you're a Tiffany Haddish fan or not. It's earned. Mm-hmm. Tiffany Haddish got years in the game. It's not an accident that Tiffany Haddish got an opportunity to star in a movie. It's not an accident that that character popped in the movie. Written or not written, a character has to pop it.
And he even acknowledged the years that you've put in before that. Now I want to ask
that's
you, Tiffany,
so
because you were very
it.
Classy in your response on social media, because the first thing I thought was, that's effed up. What's Tiffany going to say? Because it has to be hurtful when somebody says something like that. Especially, I'm sure you were a fan of his, you know, at some point.
I still am a fan of his. I think he's hilarious.
So what did you think when you heard that before you responded?
Well, I thought, I was like, dang, what'd I do to him? Did I his man, and then I was like,
"You're stupid. You're funny." You're
That's
stupid.
What I thought at first. That's what I always think when people say mean things. I always think that because I figured right. I must have took something from you. I must have did something to you. And then I realized I never did nothing to that man. And then when I started like really listening to it, I was like, "Oh, he got his facts wrong. He's obviously not paying attention to me, and somebody must have been complaining to him about me or whatever. And maybe he felt some type of way. I don't know. I just feel like, well, you know, it is what it is. I'm not tripping. I'm not mad. Right. I'm not upset.
But did he apologize? Because we seen a picture there.
Yeah, what's the first thing he said to you?
He apologized. He said, listen, let me explain what's going on. And then he explained himself, and then I was just like, well, you know.
But what did he explain?
Yeah, like, what kind of explanation can
he just say,
you
I hate it?
I want to step in because I'm going to let my sister keep it classy.
Yeah.
Somebody kicked my sister ball over the fence. I want it back. It doesn't matter what he said. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the apology was.
So you didn't like the apology.
It's not about the apology. And I want to get this very clear. I want to make it very clear. Cat Williams is an amazing, talented comedian, which is why I'm so frustrated. I sit from afar and I admire the man's talent. Mm-hmm. I don't like that you said anything negative about a woman of color that's getting her shot. Mm. Say it to me. I'll take it all. Hate me.
You do seem to be more offended about this than I've ever seen.
I have sat back. Mm-hmm. I have forever been the humble guy. Mm-hmm. I have time to not be humble today. Mm. I have time to fact check everything he said because the world of Cat Williams is a fictional world.
Is he selling that many tickets?
Let's run this down.
You know, he said on his
last tour.
I was like, when was she married to a white man? I went back. I was like, because I know.
I've been proposed to by a white man before and then found out he was really black when we did that DNA test, but it is what it is.
So you weren't married to a white man?
No, never.
I know that, but whatever.
Now, got these tickets. Kev, he said he sold
2.4 million tickets.
False.
On his last tour.
False.
That's more than Beyonce and Jay-Z. Right?
That's more than Justin Bieber and Justin Timberlake.
That's more than
Billy Joel, the Eagles.
That's more than Beyonce and Justin Timberlake combined. Okay, do you understand how many tickets 2.4 million tickets are?
Yes,
right now, you can Google it. Mm-hmm. It's all researchable information. I am sitting on 1.3 million tickets sold. There is nobody close to me in ticket sales and comedy.
And you're on a worldwide tour.
I am worldwide. I am on par with the likes of your Bruno Mars, your Jay-Z, and Beyonce. So in comedy, it's unheard of to get those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, to say 15 consecutive 100-city tours, it's false. Where did you do the new stuff? When did you ever work on something? Consecutive means in a row. Mm-hmm. Where? There's a Forbes list every year that comes out. Go back to 2007, go back to 2006. Cat Williams has never been on it. Go back to my last 5 years in comedy. I have 1 year where I got number one. This year, I'll be number one again. I have 1 year where I was number three. The other years, I'm number six, I'm number seven. These lists are researchable. Another fact, a hard fact, Cat Williams did not own all the specials. He trashes the white man. The white man owned your content.
So Cat Williams don't own none of the specials?
No! False. Is this false.
Is this provable?
I am now coming to get my sister's ball that was kicked over the fence. I
think you got it.
I'm only saying this because of how you attack innocent people.
Yes. Correct. And Tiffany does have an hour stand-up special
on Showtime.
From the hood to Hollywood.
She's got two. Also, Netflix specials are not given by what you sell on the road. That's the most ridiculous I've ever heard in my life. Another fact.
So it's not about tickets?
No.
What's that about?
It's not about tickets. It's about your brand. It's about your return. If I'm a business and I want to invest a high amount of money in you, how am I getting my money back? Mm-hmm. Everybody can't demand the money if you can't justify how I'm getting my money back. All these announcements came out for the specials. I kept mine under wraps just because. Netflix gave me $40 million.
What?
Whoa.
This is a fact.
We need better chance.
Listen.
Yeah, we need better chance than that.
And we need new laptops.
We need laptops too, man.
And I would like an iPad.
You know, charges. A car if you feel like it.
I told you he bought a new house.
My kids got
to go. I can use taxes. After taxes.
The point that I'm making is that that's information. This is all researchable information if you go look for it. I just chose to keep it to myself because I don't care. I'm only saying this now because I'm fact-checking what was put out as fiction. That's not how they do deals. With that being said, once again, when you look at all the comedians that are up and coming, young, old, whatever, as a comedian that's sitting in a position of power, if you got any financial growth, put your money where your mouth is and you change it. So if you got a team of people, which he does, which are very funny, once again, shout out to Red Grant, Mary Camacho, Lunell, Leslie Jones, that was there for a minute.
I know them all.
I love all those people, but I can't name one of their jokes.
It doesn't matter. I would never shit on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead, I would say, take your money and create opportunities for them so they can pop within your brand and make you better. All the negativity that I receive is from Cat Williams and Mike Epps. Ask yourself why. Those two people that f***ed themselves over.
They was in the same movie. They was
I don't give a shit today. I got time to talk all this shit today.
What'd you say, Tiff?
I said they both got their break in the same movie. They both popped on the same movie.
Friday
after next.
All right, we have more with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got special guests in the building, Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart.
Do you get along with any of your peers?
I get along with everybody.
Michael Blackson and you had a little thing. But
me and Mike Blackson are fine. That was more about me and Mike Blackson knowing each other for real. Mm-hmm. You let this fiction take you out of the realm of saying you really know me. Mm. So at that moment, Mike, I'm like, dude, you know me. Like, enough is enough. You know that at this point, when all this is going down, you know how serious it is. Mm. You know me. Like, we really are friends. I get it from everybody else. I don't give a shit. But you different. You know me. That's where me and Mike came in. But me and Mike are fine. I'm saying negativity. I'm saying talk. I'm saying the constant downing of people that sit in the position of success that have worked hard for it comes from people that have yet to realize their fuck up. Mm. This is simply me calling you out on your fuck ups. Stop pointing at other people. Stop pointing at Hollywood for your fuck up. It is changing. It is the biggest comedy star in the world right now on an international level.
Hey.
Box office and goddamn touring. Stop talking to me about the opportunities that we're not getting because I'm creating them. Your f*** up. Take responsible for your f*** up. Don't kick my sister ball over the fence no more.
Why you sound like you talking to your kids?
Because they kicked her ball over the fence.
I would never want to get in trouble in your house.
I'm upset because I know this girl's story. Y'all don't understand where my frustration come from. Homeless.
You was there for her when she was homeless?
The joke of the money that I gave her. I'm talking about a real grind.
Right.
Homeless, no bed, back seat, washing your ass in bathroom sinks. And now you finally get millions for a movie, and now we want to go, you ain't this and you ain't that? Applaud her first.
And she seems so grateful all the time, and you have nothing bad to say about anybody. I've never seen Tiffany Haddish come at anybody, be negative. It seems like you're always supportive of
other
people.
Yeah, I am supporting. If I got something bad to say about somebody, I say it to them in their face first. Straight up.
Why are you so loving and forgiving, Tiffany?
Keep it loving, Tiffany.
Why are you so loving and forgiving to people who try to discredit you?
Because they obviously are hurting. And they need some. They need some love. There's something wrong with them for them to even come at me. I never did nothing to them.
Right.
I never said anything bad about them. So there's something that's personal. And obviously, they crying for help. So I'm going to be kind, and I'm going to keep it pushing and not absorb whatever they're trying to put out.
We heard he reached out to you and apologized to you, too. Is that true?
No.
Oh.
No.
Where you get that from?
I don't know. And I want to make this perfectly clear. This is not a Kevin Hart versus Cat thing. This is not that. I don't give that much of a. I don't have time to care that much. Mm-hmm. This is I'm shining a light on what we complain about. Mm-hmm. We complain that we don't have. Then we get, and now we tear down those that are getting what we said we don't have. Make a decision. I'm going to ride with whatever decision we make. Y'all on a platform. Help me figure out so I know what we're sticking to. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. So if I'm wrong, tell me now so I can take the money out of my Laugh Out Loud network. So I can stop trying to produce these movies and get diversity looks and make a multicultural cast pop. Because I thought that's what we wanted. So if it's not what we want, tell me. And I'll go back and I'll do what was being done that we didn't want. So if we're going to fix a problem, then help a f***ing problem become fixed by being a part of the solution and not the problem. When you are down and you attack those that are now becoming a part of the solution, you're the f***ing problem.
It's interesting that they always say the white man gives people in Hollywood stuff. As if we haven't been watching y'all bust y'all ass for years.
Absolutely.
I can say that there has been a heavy separation within races and opportunity in the entertainment business. I can say all the complaints that have been given over the past are not only correct, but worthy of the attention that they got. Mm-hmm. Okay? Within all the movements, within all the conversation, within we need more. Mm-hmm. You goddamn right. I get it. I was a person that was told movies can't translate overseas with black leads in comedy. I was told that to my face. I begged for those opportunities. I pushed for them. I got them. And now you see more movies with people of color in the lead position getting those opportunities because we're pushing for it.
they talk about people giving people stuff. You had to fight for an audition for Girls Trip, right?
Yeah, I fought for that. I was constantly on my agent about getting me that audition, and I got it. And then I went in like 4 times, and then finally I got the job. But I mean, I was just thinking about it. Like, every person that's ever given me an opportunity in this business or fought for me or fought with me to get a job or put me on something has been Black. So to me, when they say, oh, the white man, whatever, to me, I don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been Black or Hispanic, Middle Eastern, but mostly Black people have helped me. And it, when it comes to stand-up, it's like everybody, I feel like. And my job in this business, I feel like, to me, my position, I come from bringing joy. And when people are like, oh, she not funny, you not funny, I don't care. And my comedy not for you. You know, I'm here to not make the whole wide world laugh. I'm here to make the people that buy tickets laugh. That's all I care about.
And, you know, it's a perfect segue to go back to our reason for being here.
Nice call.
Yeah, because I just want to say, salute to Will Packer for being a great director. Because he's in the back, like,
Packer. Well, just hear me out. When I say perfect segue, I'm saying, when I talk about second chances, when I talk about the purpose of the movie, when I talk about why the movie was created, when I talk about the vision behind it, it's to motivate and inspire. Yes, you're going to laugh, but there's a message within it. Within everything that I'm saying, yo, second chances are valuable. Within everything that I said directed towards Kat and what was said, yo, you got a second chance. Your people still ride with you. They still f*** with you. They always will because you're talented. Acknowledge that, yo, you know what? The first time I may have done some f***. Second time I'm coming back stronger than other people. Watch the road back to Kat Williams getting back to the top.
Oh, you mean like with him winning the Emmy?
What? Yes. Okay. Like that's your moment. That's hey, man.
He didn't write that role, by the way, though. I'm just saying. Same thing, no, he's accusing other people of. He didn't write the role
here,
in Atlanta.
I'm not here to attack that. I'm saying, as a fan, I would embrace you acknowledging whatever and going. That's a second chance. Within my movie, you'll see second chances become highlighted. You'll see them be celebrated. Night school is bigger than the last that you're going to get. There's a message. And any content being developed that comes from Heartbeat Productions will have an underlying tone that you will be able to take with you, because that's what I'm trying to do from a production standpoint.
So this script came to you first, and then you brought it to...
No, this script was developed by me and my team.
Oh, it was developed by you and everybody.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
okay.
You wrote it.
Yes, ground up. Harry Ratridge, shout out Harry Ratridge, Joey Wells, Matt Kellard, Glenda Richardson, John Hamburg, Nicholas Stoller, all amazingly talented writers that came and that helped in within the development of the script, done underneath the Heartbeat umbrella. Then after that, taken to my guy, Will Packer, read it, loved it, took it to Universal, sold it. Universal said, let's do it. We did it, and now we're releasing it. That's the steps within development. But what I love the most is that you're seeing something that can be branded and that can be underlined as what Kevin Hart content will look like. I want to be a partner. I've been a work for hire for a long time. So now it's about becoming a partner. So when Universal looks at me and they say, we're developing with Kevin, it's because we're partners. The world of being a work for hire was a great one, but the business in me won't allow that to last. The business is now about pulling other people up, embracing the opportunities that can be given. Opportunities that can be given. The first of me.
Earned. It's given and earned. Yes.
Right, well, it was given because I earned it.
Well, I thought you've been doing that with your stand-up, though. You own all your stand-ups, right?
Yes. I own.
Really? For real now, not just for radio.
This is not, once again, this is all researchable information. Well, not the one that I just shot. That's Netflix. That's why they cut that check, so they can, that's theirs. That
$40 million.
And that was just for one special?
No, I'm doing two. Okay. I'm giving them two.
So two $20 million specials.
We don't need to get into that. The math is great. We need to get into that. But, it was done along at the same time when Rock, Chappelle, Ellen, when we were all figuring it out. Eddie Murphy, man, he's up there. That $50 million number is a crazy number. It's the highest grossing stand-up special of all time. And, you know, I shot for it. I tried. I gave my all. I made the list, and I have three specials on there, but that man sits at the top for a reason.
What's your highest one?
Highest one is 36 or 32, something like that.
Oh, okay. 38.
I
saw one you have for 23, 32. So Cat sold more than you because he did 24 with one of them.
It's not a fact.
All right, we have more with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish, but don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, normally we do rumors here.
Yes, but since Envy and Angela Yee are in Vegas.
No, since Tiffany Haddish and
Kevin Hart
stopped.
Y'all are in Vegas, but Tiffany and Kev are here, but we're all together. Don't worry about it. It's radio magic. That's it right. Don't matter how it's getting done. It's just getting done.
Don't try to chickify me, bro. Don't try to chickify me. But let's get back into our interview with Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart.
Doesn't it feel like as the success comes and things get bigger for you, just so much more hate comes with it at times as well?
Especially you, Tiff, because it seems like they love you on the way up, and then when you get there, it's like, ah, oh, she ain't funny. Oh, she's this. Oh, she's that. But they love you when you're on your way up.
Yeah, now all of a sudden it's, oh, she reinforces the negative stereotypes of black women.
Well, I expect it. I mean, that's a part of the process. I've been researching and studying the entertainment business for a long time, and that's part of the process. They love you for a minute, then they hate on you, then they love you again, and they hate on you. It's like a dysfunctional relationship.
Does it ever bother you?
Not really, no, because my check is getting bigger and bigger. So continue to be a publicist for free.
Don't
also,
you let that get
from
to
my
you.
Upbringing, I mean, I grew up in foster care. One minute I'm in the most wonderful home. Next thing I'm snatched out to the next thing thinking nobody there cared about me. So I've been trained and built for this. My mama used to talk mess about me and then next second love and kiss on me. So to me, I was made for this. I'm built for it. So y'all can talk all the shit y'all want to talk. I'm still going to be smiling at you because I know in a minute you're going to be like, dang, I love what you said right there. That made me feel good. So I'm going to keep it pushing.
I love how you protecting, Tiff in this situation, but how do you protect, other artists, including her, just in the business period?
I protect them.
So they don't
make
the same mistakes you made coming up.
I protect them by giving them the opportunity. Mm-hmm. I protect them by being an open book and an example. You get to see the hard work and effort that was put into my craft. And in return, I take it and I say, hey, man, I can't wait to see the next version of what I am, if not bigger. Mm. I can't wait to see the next version of the next generation that surpasses all this amazing shit that I'm doing and that creates other opportunities for others. I got to see a blueprint that so many did before me, and I took what I saw and I said, how can I be different? What impact can I have? Mm-hmm. So when you say, how do I change or how do I have an effect on them? My effect is by saying, hey, man, take this, use this for whatever you feel you can. And when you get the opportunity that you feel you're going to get from this, don't fuck it up. Be better than me. The people in our craft of comedy, which is one of the hardest goddamn professions to make it in. So when you're a person that sits in this chair, that's in this field, come on, man, you got no choice but to support the ones that made it out that gauntlet. Mm-hmm. How y'all feel, man? Everybody all right? F*** you! All right, come on now.
That's interesting you said that. Even when people are hating, when they can name 5 or 6 black comedians, that's big.
Right.
Because usually it's only one.
Huge. Yeah. Huge. That's why I was so taken back, like at the shot for Rel. I couldn't be prouder of Rel. I couldn't be more happy.
He's like the
great
nicest
guy. How you hate
him? Great guy, man. Mm-hmm. That man don't bother nobody.
Do you find him attractive, though?
Hey, look, man, that's not for me to determine. Okay? Look,
that's all relevant.
Rel's doing all right.
I don't know why that bothered me when he said that.
Rel's doing all right. Rel's got, he's got kids. He's got, you know?
Somebody finds him.
Somebody was okay with it. What are you talking about? You don't let that happen to something that you feel is disgusting. That's a mutual agreement right there.
And you helped Rel out early with his stand-up special, Relevant. Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough for Rel to allow me to help him out. I came to Rel as a fan. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm a fan. I would love to produce your special. Me and Rel had a conversation. I said, I want you to do it your way. I just want to help. I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of the craft. I love comedy. I love watching the ones that did it before me, and I love watching the ones that are coming up after me. If you take nothing else from this interview, can take the fact that I want to see other people win, and I'm not selfish with my position. So for all of our black people out there that want to see more people of color in a position where they're winning, ask yourself if you're a part of the solution or the problem.
Mm.
It's that simple.
We love you for being honest, man. One of the things that you're super honest about that's been, like, intriguing me lately is, like, the fact that you be getting your hair dyed and your beard dyed, because I got Gray's problem.
Yeah, it's up here.
But he has hair, at least.
No, this
time. He does have hair.
I'm being honest.
He does have hair.
I definitely got a dyeheen.
He's the only dude out here that's honest about it.
Yeah, he is.
No, but here's the thing, though. I think I was using the wrong color for a minute. because of my
dark brown or black?
No, I was going dark brown, but when it go back, my turn like a dirty bronze. Like, I had one girl, hey, you washing your head? She's like, your head look dirty. I was like, what are you talking about? This ain't nobody. This is my natural color.
I'm thinking about getting some for the bed.
Not the Beijing. I don't do that.
Oh, so it's not Beijing?
No, I don't do that.
You got some rich dick. Even when you wiped your forehead just now, ain't nothing came off.
You got to go a good product. The last thing you want to do, especially when you married, is get up from a pillowcase with a. Well, you got to explain yourself. No, I wash my ass. I ain't got It's the die. It's the Beijing. The Beijing is coming out.
So it's not share the secret.
No, what it's not Beijing. I'm not going to do that publicly because it's my secret. I'll tell you off air, though. I'll tell you off air. I got a nice product, man. And, you know, here's the thing. You can't overdo it.
Right.
Do it when it's necessary. Sometimes embrace the gray. Let that go out and just look like Morgan Freeman for a good 2 weeks. Just accept it. Accept it. And then after that, surprise and hit everybody with the young back. You. Yeah. Who trying to go dance?
Night School is out next week. Make sure you go check it out. Make sure you support.
So listen, if all these people apologize, it'll be all good, right?
Listen, I'm not here for drama, brother.
Okay.
It's not about the apology. It's not about, like, me and Kat don't ever have to talk or we can't talk. It doesn't matter. It's not going to affect me anyway. I am about support. That's it. I'm going to support that man. I'm going to be a fan forever. Whether I like him or whether we don't like each other, I'm a fan. Because I'm a fan of his talent. This has nothing to do with that. I want to make that very clear. This has nothing to do with that. This is not a beef. This is correcting what you said that you know you shouldn't have said. This is about you embracing your fails, your fuck-ups, and you acknowledging what you did and stop pointing a finger at everybody else. Eventually, you got to point it back to you.
Well, thank you for joining us.
And Tiff will be back. Tiff got two more movies coming out this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are the movies? Tell them.
Oh, I got The Oath coming out in October, and then I got another movie called Nobody's Fool coming out in November.
Aren't you on TV, too?
Yeah. I'm on TV on the show called The Last OG, and I got some more Groupon commercials coming, and I got some seasoning, so.
And what are you
working
special?
On releasing on Netflix?
Oh, and my Netflix special's coming, and then I'm also going to bring up 6 other comics in that special.
What do you mean?
I'm doing a Tiffany Haddish Presents, my favorite comedians, and it's like comics that have been doing comedy for more than 10 years that deserve a chance to shine.
Hold on, so you mean to tell me you got put in a position of power, and now you're putting other people on?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Oh.
That's what my big brother taught me.
Wow. Interesting.
It gets transferred
concept.
Down, man. Give me a second. I want to run down stuff I got going on. You guys got a second? Just before we get out of here, we got a second? Okay. I just need a good 67 seconds. I timed it out earlier. Okay. First and foremost, Night School. That's the priority, guys. Please go out, support this movie September 28th.
Yep.
Like I said, there's a big meaning behind it. First movie underneath the production company of mine, Heartbeat Production. So I need your support. Other than that, got a drama coming out. It's called The Upside. Me, Brian Cranston, Nicole Kidman. That's dropping January 11th.
A drama. That's a stretch
drama.
For you, Kev.
This is going to be, it's a great look. I can't wait for people to see it. Mm-hmm. Sequel Life of Pets 2. Get ready for that one.
I'm in that
Tiff's
too.
In that
Tiff
too.
Tiff is in that too. That's why I brought it up because you forgot to say it.
I don't know when it's coming.
Well, I do. That's my job, Tiff. That's why I'm your big brother. Okay. 2019, you'll get hit with that. The tour, Irresponsible Tour. I'm on my last 3 months. We're wrapping that up strong. Big cities coming up. If you don't have your tickets, go get them. KevinHartNation.com. Also, filming Jumanji 2. After filming Jumanji, G2, working on another animation, working on a comedy called Lil' Kev, and that's going to be about my life, but me being told, I'm telling this life through the little version of me with an adult voice. It's pretty dope.
So it's the same. So, it's same, just you right now.
Yeah. Typecast.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, when you say it like that, yes. That's exactly what it is.
Did I say I got a movie coming out with Melissa McCarthy as well?
No, you forgot that too.
Oh, yeah. The Kitchen, yeah. And that's a gangster movie.
Go you.
Yeah, I'm learning from you.
Give me one more.
Yeah. High I also five. Got a cartoon coming out on Netflix called Tuca and Birdie.
Hey.
Yeah, I got another movie I'm doing with Rose Byrne that's coming 2019 as well. That's a comedy. Hey. Unlimited Partners, I'm producing that too. Okay.
Did you get more for your Netflix special than Monique?
Don't say that. Thank you guys for the time. We love you guys. This has been real. You know, this is what it's about.
It's Kevin Hart.
That's good. Thank you guys.
And we do have to say congratulations while you guys are both up here. Honestly, I know we're all cool with each other and we joke around a lot, but that's huge that you guys are doing so much, so many big things. So congratulations to Tiffany and
thank
to Kevin.
You.
Thank you guys.
Inspirational.
Love
thank
y'all.
You. Thank
love
you.
Y'all.
Love y'all.
Appreciate y'all.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm going to fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make the judgment of who was going to be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
All right, listen, man. Charlamagne the God here. I'm on vacation. I don't give a damn what y'all think about that because I deserve it. Now, The Breakfast Club is in 80-plus markets in 150 countries, so we have a lot of new listeners who probably don't even know who Charlamagne the God is. So use my time off to catch up on some of my past work, okay? Okay. If you're new here, I do a segment every day called Donkey of the Day, donkey as in jackass, and that's when I give someone the credit they deserve for being stupid. So if you never heard of it, this is new to you, but if you are a regular listener, then this is an oldie but goodie because it's the best of the Donkey of the Day. Donkey of the Day goes to a queen from Queens named Nicki Minaj. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Nicki Minaj. Okay. Now, it's rare that you see someone play themselves the way Nicki Minaj played herself on social media. Now, if you are not aware of what happened, the Billboard charts for this week came out, and once again, Travis Scott, regardless of what Onika says, has the number one album in the country with Astro World. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Travis Scott. Travis sold 205,000 units with 78,000 from traditional sales. Nicki Minaj has the number two album in the country with 185,000 units and 78,000 of her albums from traditional sales. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Nicki Minaj again, okay? Because Queen, to me, is a good body of work. I have slight critique, like I probably would have shortened it to just 12 songs. I also would like to hear a little more growth out of Nicki when it comes to her content, but I still think, in my opinion, that Queen is a good body of work, and it's a good body of work that sold 185,000 albums in his first week. I think that's more than respectable. I think that's a win. But Nicki Minaj, ladies and gentlemen, is a sore winner. And it's very, very, very rare that you come across a sore winner, but Nicki is one of them. Nicki responded to the news of her having the number two album in the country by tweeting, "Travis sold over 50,000 of these." By 50,000 of these, she means merchandise, right? "With no requirement of redeeming the album, with no dates for a tour, etc. I spoke to him. He knows he doesn't have the number one album this week. I love my fans for the number one album in America." Now, when she says 50,000 of these, she's talking about tour passes, merchandise. What is she talking about? Does anybody know?
I think it's a merch.
It's a merch. Okay. I think if you buy the t-shirt or whatever it may be, yeah, I think you also get the album.
I know a guy, right, Dan, who works up here, loves merch, and he bought some of the Travis Scott merch, so I guess it comes with the album.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever it was. I'm just here to tell Nicki, no, Travis does not know he doesn't have the number one album in the country, because we are all looking at the same numbers. You are. He has the number one album in the country, okay? You have the number two album in the country, all right? He sold 205,000. You sold 185,000. I don't care what bundles came with the album. So what if Travis Scott sold merch with album or tour passes with his album? Last time I checked, Nicki, you bundled concert tickets with your album, too. So I'm really trying to see what is the issue here, okay? Let's look at everyone who Nicki blamed for being number two. All right, she blamed Travis Scott for selling merch along with his album. She blamed Kylie Jenner for tweeting about Travis Scott's album. She blamed Stormy for being a cute little baby whose daddy happens to be Travis Scott, and he made the album. She blamed Spotify for putting Drake on every playlist, but claimed Spotify told her they would have to teach her a lesson for playing her music 10 minutes early on Apple Radio. Nicki Minaj, you are blaming everyone like you lost something. You have watched too much Talladega Nights, because this quote has to be stuck in your brain.
You ain't first, you're last.
But I'm telling you, that's not true. Okay, it's okay. You put out a good body of work and you sold 185,000 records. Why are you being a sore winner? Nothing you're doing is queen-like. I mean, okay, let's just say all these people are to blame for you having the number two album in the country. Okay, well, who's to blame for you having the number two album in 2015? Nicki's last album, The Pink Print, debuted at number two with 244,000 albums sold. Okay, I don't remember her tripping off being number two then, so what's the problem now? And this album, Queen, is better to me than The Pink Print. So the most important thing is you put out a good body of work, because nobody was canceling you because they wanted you gone from the game. People were saying they just wasn't feeling you musically anymore. So to hear you back musically is all I ever wanted. So for you to have the number two album in the country is cool. Okay, I just want to know why you don't think this is okay. This is your second consecutive number two album. It's the second biggest debut week from a female rapper in 2018 behind Cardi B's Invasion of Privacy. The meltdown you had on social media wasn't warranted because you won. And for all the barbs out there who are in my mentions right now, ready to slander me all day for giving Nicki Donkey today, how about take that energy to Apple? Take it to Tidal. Take it to Spotify. Take it to record stores. Instead of putting energy into slandering people who you think hate Nicki Minaj, go support her music. Every time you think about slandering me today or sending me a nasty tweet or leaving me an IG caption, just think to yourself, damn, I could be screaming Nicki's music right now or purchasing her music, okay? Nicki, activate your barbs to buy your albums and not slander people who you have issues with. It's way more productive. All right, I saw Nicki on Academics' page Saturday when he posted the Billboard numbers, and she put, "This is wrong." Okay, real numbers come on Sunday. And then she put fake news, sounding just like Trump. She was right, though, because the numbers on Saturday with Travis Scott sells 225,000 with the number one album, and they had Nicki selling 190,000, but still the number two album. Okay? So she was right, you know, on everything except for the actual record sales. And all I'm saying is you could be number one next week if you get people to focus on the album instead of the antics. Okay, the album is actually good. Put out more singles. Do more videos. You're so busy worrying about what you don't have that you're not focusing on what you have. And what you have is a good body of work, a loyal fan base, and a number two standing on the Billboard charts this week. You have a lot to build off, Nicki. Okay, you are a God-fearing woman. So you know as well as I do that what we don't appreciate, we risk losing. If you drop to number 8 or number 10 next week, you're going to wish you was back at number 2. So, Nicki, stop being a sore winner because you won. You did it on them, all right? Let's celebrate you having the number 2 album in the country. All the Bobs, let's celebrate. Play my joint, please. Play my... What the hell is that? Oh, that's my joint. Play my joint.
I don't even know your song.
Nicki did it on them, baby. She did it on them. Come on now. Number 2 album in the country. Put your number 2s in the air if you did it on them.
You could have at least played something on Queen.
No, play that again. I want the number 2s in the air because Nicki did it on them. She got the number 2 album in the country. We going to celebrate. I'm tired of her being a sore winner. Okay? Envy, do it. You from Queens. Angela Yee, do it.
Envy don't want to compete.
I'm the only person.
Envy was the only queen
for
Queens.
Put your number 2s in the air if you did it on them.
All right now.
Come on. Come on now.
I got my 2s up.
I did. I put mine up.
Put your,
yours is like a peace sign, Envy.
Nicki, what you don't appreciate, you will lose. Please let Remy Ma give Nicki Minaj the biggest
hee-haw. Oh, wow.
You stupid motherfucker. You
wow.
Dumb.
Why you got to use Remy Ma?
I use Remy Ma every
wow.
day.
You can't use anybody
else. I haven't
heard
you use that in months.
You ain't use that. Stop it. Now, why y'all going to do that?
Usually it's, these wow. are the dogs.
See what I'm saying? I'm in here trying to give constructive
wow.
criticism. I'm in here
you
trying
petty,
to give,
bro.
I'm in here trying to give
you
constructive
petty.
Criticism.
Petty.
You petty, what y'all
man.
Telling me to do?
You petty.
I got my number 2s in the air.
You petty,
Nicki Minaj
bro.
Got the number 2 album in the country. 185,000 sold. It's a good body of work. Drop on the clues bomb from Nicki Minaj. Damn it. Okay.
They went from C-Bart
but no,
to
I
C-Bart.
Need to hit him number 2s in the air because Nicki
wow.
did it on
you
him.
Petty, bro.
Ooh. Number 2 album in the country.
You petty, bro.
Second consecutive number 2 album. Pink Print was number 2, too.
You petty.
That's crazy. The only clue could fix this.
Put your number 2s in the air if you did it on.
You petty, bro.
Put your number 2s in the air to celebrate the number 2 album in the country.
Get him, Barbs.
She won. No, go get that album, Barbs.
Go get him, Barbs.
Go get that album, Barbs.
We got time today.
Go get that album, Barbs.
All right, we got more coming up next. We're The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have a special young lady with us this morning.
Yes, sir.
Comedian Lunell.
Yo.
Now, let the record show Lunell asked me to undress her this morning.
No, you
okay.
did.
So if it ever comes out later that she didn't give me consent.
No, me too over here.
I seen you pull her shirt off.
She asked me to.
Okay. All right.
And we always do what we're asked to do, don't we, Charlamagne?
Yes.
Be a good boy, and mommy don't have to spank you.
Now, I walked outside, and I heard Charlamagne say, wax shit nasty, and then I heard Lunell yell out, I like him nasty.
Yes, child, nasty is good. People ain't nasty no more.
They can't be. They get in trouble nowadays, especially comedians.
Well, you be nasty with your mate, you know, yeah. be nasty with your... With your partner. Mm. That's what happens. You get in these relationships, you quit being nasty. Now there go your man out the motherfucking door after the next nasty bitch. You should have stayed the nasty bitch you was when he met you.
So you think that's what it is? You think women are just afraid to be freaks nowadays?
I don't think they're afraid. I just think that, I think a lot of women are inhibited.
Okay.
Especially maybe some of my big sisters out here because you feel like, oh, you know, this shit ain't tight and this is rolling and all that. And it is. But you just got, there's a whole crew of motherfuckers out there who love that shit.
Yeah.
I know, I got one. It's gonna be skinny for sure.
You got you a man that loved the rolls? You married? Oh, you married? Okay, I don't even.
I've been married for 17 years. On
hey.
The low. On the low. Don't tell the boys that.
On the low.
Yeah, I keep it on the low. I don't put my husband on social media, no pictures, because if they do that face recognition in the penitentiary, we're f***ed. then there he goes, back to the yard.
Do you still enjoy comedy? You know, because it seems like comedy's gotten a little tighter now, where there's certain things you say now, you get in trouble.
I don't get in trouble for saying anything. I say absolutely everything that's on my mind, but I've been that way for 30 years. Mm-hmm. They call me the original bad girl of comedy. I've had a mouth on me since the gate. I think it might have helped me back then. I was even too dirty to be on Def Jam, if you can believe that. I never did. And I'm swole about that. Studio 54 and Def Jam, I never got to experience in New York. I'm dead.
Oh, they told you that? They was like, yo, you too?
No, they didn't tell me, but they just didn't ever let me do it. I'm the only fool that came through that era that didn't do Def Jam. But I did 9 seasons of Comic View, which is way cleaner than Def Jam was. They just was hating on me. But I made it despite that. Mm-hmm. And the times have changed. So now, you know, my sort of style or genre is almost missing a really blue female who is what they call guy funny. You know, not just funny to the women, but funny to the dudes, too. It makes me very happy to look out there and see men bent over and spitting out their drink and stuff like that, because men come not expecting to enjoy a female comic. You come just to appease your God, go see this broad. But when you really kill it, that's why they call me El Murder. The L is for Lunel, Murder is because I'm killing these bitches out here. And so that's why when guys come in and they see me and I see them having a great time, it's wonderful. To answer your question, yes, I do still enjoy comedy. Everybody knows that I have a problem with the Insta fame, quote unquote comedians. I wish there was another name for them besides comic, because you know, I think of comics, I'm thinking of Lenny Bruce and you know Rodney Winfield and Robin Harris and Pryor and Cosby and Joan Rivers and Miles Mabley. Those are comics to me. But, you know, just because you have 387,000 likes does not a comic make. You haven't done anything. There's beauty in the struggle. Mm-hmm. Sure, everybody wants to make it fast and quick, you know? But there's beauty in the struggle. What stories are you going to be able to tell, you know, that led up to your legacy? Not, you know, you're not going to have no stories to tell. Is because I got so many likes and they picked me up from YouTube and I got my own show and that was 15 years ago and now nobody knows who the I am anymore.
Isn't it like another form of comedy? Like you got stand up, you got
it
some comedians.
It is another form of comedy.
Yeah, some comedians are funny on TV, some in movies, some in online.
Right. Yeah, you know, I mean, it is a genre for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just as prone to do a video as anybody else. But I'm not basing and hoping my career on that, you know. But I'm already established. These kids got to get in however they fit in, and I ain't mad at them. It's just that when you have to serve it up, when you have to get off Instagram and go into a club, and you got 350 people looking at you like, what you got? Then you need to have something behind that, because, you know, that time's going to run out. You're going to look f***ing stupid.
Does it bother you that a lot of these, I guess, Insta comedians are getting people in the buildings and getting a lot of money and they're not really funny at times?
Yes, of course it bothers me, and not only me. I'm just one of the people who speak out about this because I'm not a fake bitch. You know, I know it bothers a lot of us OGs because they're getting paid more than us. And it's not even, I don't do it for the money, but I certainly would like to get compensated for being one of the bad ones out here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you see people just do, you know, buying houses and shit, and they've been on YouTube for like 3 years. It's like, this is bullshit. So I'm not going to lie and say it don't bother me. It bothers a lot of people, but I don't know who's going to say it, but I will.
You know what I hate? I hate that comedians are being so politically correct nowadays, because y'all don't have to be.
I don't, and I'm not. And you know, I was out in Nyack. I wasn't in Brooklyn, and my audience was like 80% white. And I guarantee you I didn't change nary word, because I can. You know, I can go entertain the Jewish, you know, city council as well as go to the YMCA and do a show. But I don't change it because my subject matter is mostly child, relationship, and sex-based, mm-hmm. which is universal. Mm-hmm. Anybody white, anybody Latino, anybody trans, anybody anything can come to my show and they're going to fall out laughing because everything is universal. My audiences are like on a cruise ship. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you just come to have fun and you're sitting next to Joe Bob, who's sitting next to Jamal, who's sitting next to Becky, you know, and everybody's all there together. And that's what I like being able to do.
All right, we have more with Lunell when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Comedian Lunell's in the building.
Now, we had Monique up here a couple of months ago, and we were talking about her Netflix special. What did you think about that? Because you're an OG comedian.
I saw the picture you posted on Instagram. You said, Netflix, I'll take that goddamn money.
Yeah, I will take that money. Let's be clear. But first of all, I've said and I say at the beginning of my shows on stage, no matter what you think about her, no matter what you've heard about her husband, that's all irrelevant. She's f***ing right. Like, we're underpaid. Angela Bassett has said the same thing. Viola Davis has spoke on it as well. And, you know, every now and then, I like to see somebody who don't give a f*** and they just name, call people on their s*** and let the chips fall where they may. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't do it like that, you know, but she's there. I'm going to leave that to her. But, you know, 2 years from now, she'll do something else amazing. They'll be all on her dick again. I've seen this 100 times. You know what I mean? You go down, you come back up. But somebody had to speak on the issue. At least the issue is being spoke about now.
Right.
And so I thank her for that.
So what happens when the next, like, what would it say? Like somebody like a Tiffany Haddish, when she gets paid from Netflix?
Well, she's gotten paid.
She's gotten paid, yes, yes.
Well, Tiffany is a friend of mine, I like to think. And I think that she is riding the f***ing wave right now. What you gonna do? Not take the money?
Goddamn right.
You know, and the wave don't always last forever. So you better grab it. She's cute, she's young, she's perky, she's quirky. She acts kind of stupid, but she ain't stupid.
Not at all.
At all. And I really don't think that the Illuminati gonna be able to come for her without her snitching them out. She's holding on to that Beyonce bite story pretty tough. But I think if the Illuminati come and Tiffany had it, they'll be the f*** with the wrong bitch, because she gonna put up, do you know these m***s came to me, talking to me about that bull, you know? And I just don't think she's gonna change. I think she's gonna remain the chick that she is, you know?
I agree, too.
Which is refreshing.
Yeah, and plus, she's older, though, so it's not like she knew, you know what I mean?
Right. She didn't just pop up, but that's what it looks like, you know.
Yeah.
She just popped up out the sky. No, you can Google her and go back, see Tiffany doing shit and poorly dressed.
Now you pose naked.
Yeah, for Penthouse.
For real?
Google the picture right now. Man, do your homework.
No, let me see. What I got to Google? Lunell
Penthouse. Black and white. You want to see it in black and white?
Yeah,
no, he want to see it in color.
Let me see. I want to see that melanin.
Let me see. That's not all you going
to
see.
Why'd you decide to pose naked?
Well, because they said okay. You know, I had already directed a photo shoot for Penthouse. It was a series they had called Pop Shots.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie J did one. Mm-hmm. I did one. Dave Navarro did one. And you get to pick the models you want. They give you a mansion, and you can be in the pool, in the bed, on the kitchen. And all that. So we took over the mansion, and I got everybody I wanted. I wanted a boy who looked like Fabio. We got my boy Alejandro. I wanted a chocolate sister. The light-skinned bitches get all the shine, so I wanted a dark-skinned sister. Yeah, and then I wanted a redhead, a white girl, not a blonde or brunette, and I got. See, look at that.
Go
it took 3 hours to do that graffiti on my back.
Go that ahead, ain't Lunell.
See them That's right.
They real?
Yeah, they real. Feel them.
No, now.
Don't be scared.
No, now.
If you
no.
scared, go to church, no. Charlamagne.
Because somebody going to screenshot the picture with just me with my hands on you?
I'm going to get a T-shirt to say, I gave permission. I gave permission.
Did Penthouse pay good?
No, unfortunately. They did not. But the, and I thought that, see, I want that picture with the graffiti on my back. I want that to eventually hit the Jumbotron in Times Square. Mm-hmm. You never know. Hell, I might host New Year's Eve, Rockin' Eve one day down there.
You never know.
And then everything is possible.
Right.
Everything is possible if you believe. The Bible say that.
There you go.
Now,
you know that Remy bring out the scripture in the bitch.
I see. And even in these pictures in Penthouse, you had your cup of yak.
Yeah, I did. What about it?
Def Comedy Jam, you say you never did it, right?
Never did it.
So when you heard the allegations about Russell, how'd you feel?
How do I handle this?
Take a sip first.
Let me sip,
Take a sip first. Take a sip first.
All right, there you go. All right, now ask the question again, Charlamagne.
Now, so you didn't do Def Comedy Jam, so when you heard the allegations about Russell, how did you feel?
Well, that had nothing to do with me not doing Def Jam. That was the work of Bob Sumner, who used to cast the...
My guy, Bob. I know Bob. Mm-hmm. My man.
Yeah, I used to get weed for Bob when he come to Oakland. How about that, Bob?
But he would never put you on Def Comedy Jam.
No. Mm. But that's okay. Well, there's things that I know.
Uh-oh.
And there's things that I probably shouldn't say on your very popular radio/television show. But I'll tell you something in your ear when we get off here. And I just know them allegations, they probably gonna stick.
God damn. No. Jesus Christ. You might as well just say what you know now. Jesus Christ.
Let me see.
Get pour some more Remy, Charlie.
I got a little more Remy over there. Oh, don't ply me with alcohol. Give me some right in here.
That's exactly how
I lie. That's all I need. What was the question?
Ask the question again, Charlamagne.
Oh,
I'm not going down there.
Yeah. Ask me something else. You're going to get me murdered before I get up out this.
What do you think about other comedians critiquing other comedians publicly, like saying they're not funny and stuff like that?
Faison came up and he said Dave Chappelle wasn't funny at one time. I think Michael Blackson was, you know, had his little stuff with Kevin Hart.
Well, if I was to do that, I'd have beef with everybody. So I don't really, the only people I ever really talk about is the millennial social media comedians. That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't really hate on my fellow comedians because we're really all in the same gang.
Right.
You know, I think the older comics do show some loyalty. Now, Faison, you know, his old fat bitter ass, he done came up here and talked about me before too, but I just let it roll off my back and then I called him. Yeah, he said, I think it was, was he here? I might have been on Sway.
By Sway.
What'd he say?
Yeah. Oh, just some old stupid shit, you know, something that totally ain't got shit to do with nothing. I don't pay a Faison no mind. We've been friendly for years. I done got for Faison, so he needs to shut the fuck up when it comes to me. And let's just all play nice in the sandbox and be friends. And he'll probably watch and say, that bitch ain't never got no pussy for me. Well, you don't think he gets it on his own, do you?
Now,
now I'm in trouble.
No, you're all right. You're fine.
Now the shit gonna go down.
You're fine.
That fat, funky bitch, f*** Lunell. What else you got, bitch? I'm fat. You ain't got no more than that. Okay.
We have more with Lunell, comedian. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Lunell, comedian, in the building. Charlamagne?
Now, Tori Hart, she said that she's cool with side chicks. Would you be okay with your husband having a side chick?
Nah. Ask would I be okay with me having a side piece.
Would you be okay with having a side piece, Lunell?
Yeah. Why you look out the window? Is he?
Because my husband's right out there.
Uh-oh.
But the that I want to give it to is right over there with them Tims on.
That's my man Wax.
Yes, Wax on, Wax off.
Tell Wax to come in.
Stay, leave him there.
Tell him come here real quick.
I make my top lip moist.
Tell him come here.
He make me sweat on my top lip. Don't do that.
Tell him come here. Don't come here.
Don't do that. See, my husband stays in his lane.
He can't hear.
I know that. He can't hear no way. He
Wax.
Wax it down for a second, brother.
Lunell want to give you some man.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't say that.
You can handle it. You don't think you can handle it.
I didn't say that, but it's absolutely accurate, and you're probably accurate as well.
Yeah.
She said I'm nasty.
How nasty?
Real nasty.
How nasty? Tell me something. That's how the phone sucks.
You don't like the ass.
Oh, well, then forget it. I got to have that.
I got to have it. So you like your butt?
Why? Well, my ass is sweet, I've been told. I stay very clean. I'm a bath girl. I believe that titties and booties should go under fucking water.
Get it?
Yeah, but that's like, but when you wash
if it. If you smelled my ass right now, you would go,
Wax, smell it and let's see.
Let me see. Come here. Let me see what you got.
Back it up on him one time, Lunell.
See, you ain't really nasty.
Can't see. Let me see. Back it up on him one time. Ooh, smell it. Smell it.
Tell me what that dang smell like.
What that booty do?
You in trouble. I'm in trouble, too. It's all over. We may as well make a plan because we're both
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Now,
thanks, Wax. Now, so I would give him the business, that motherfucker right there. Don't get it wrong. I love my fucking husband. I love him like a I kill a bitch about that motherfucker. But, you know, have you ever I don't want to wag, so.
Have you ever cheated on your husband?
Yeah.
He knows?
Why you say it like that? Like, duh.
Because we were separated for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, like, we've been married 17 years, but all them years wasn't in a row. You know what I mean?
We had
a little summer siestas.
I like how you clean that up. Yeah.
I'm clean, Charlamagne.
Now, you were Wendy Williams' comedy coach, too, right?
I was.
There was a comedy coach, too. What did you do?
Well, it was amazing how it even came about, because just the day before I got the call, Chris Rock was on the show. And I'm like, she could call anybody in the world
right. And
get them. Mm-hmm. But she called me. That was a blessing. Mm-hmm. And see, Wendy did it right. She hired somebody to help. She would do her comedy, like, in the studio mm-hmm. at night, you know, to the crew and stuff. And then she would send me tapes, and I would critique and send my comments back. And then when she did the show in Vegas, Lipstick, then I was there. And then when she did a show in New Jersey in J-Pack, then I was there, too, and I was actually on the bill with her.
But don't you got to, like, hit them comedy clubs, though? Because if you... doing comedy
no,
crew,
stay the f*** out the club. See, Wendy don't need that. She got her own built-in audience already. Wherever she go, it's going to sell out.
Got you.
So she don't need to f*** with the club. Leave the clubs for real comics who are working out. She did her shit in theaters. If you're Wendy, why not do a theater? Why your ass in the club?
Did you consider her a friend?
Well, she's not real friendly like that.
Okay.
She's friendly, but only to a point. She does that thing, that social distance type thing, so... but I could say, no, a friend I could call to answer the phone. A friend I could call and ask for money. Wendy ain't neither one of them.
Did you see it when she passed out? What'd you think of that?
Well, I thought it was terrible, but I sure want to go out like that.
You want to go out like that?
I want to drop right on stage in front of everybody. F*** it. Go out with a bang. Go viral, bitch.
That's how you want to die?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Come on, stop.
Yeah.
You'd right rather on die on
stage. Do you know there's a thing on YouTube... You know, stars who died right before the audience's eyes. The whole slew of people. I could be on there.
Would you rather die on stage or on Wax's face?
On stage, what?
Now, where you at this weekend? Where you at coming up?
I'm in Denver. No, Dayton. I'm in Dayton. Dayton, Colorado.
Okay.
What is it?
Dayton, Ohio?
She don't know.
Dayton, Ohio.
God damn it.
Hey, look, I f***ing Remy for breakfast, bitch. What you expect?
Give him a website or something, Lunell. God damn.
Just go to heylunell.com. HeyLunell.com. And then you can find out my schedule. If you want to write me on Instagram or Twitter and say how much you thoroughly enjoyed this broadcast, you can hit me on Instagram or Twitter at Lunell. L-U-E-N-E-L-L.
Any positive words you want to leave us with before we
no.
go?
No.
Lunell, don't be a stranger, okay? Please come back.
Yes. I gotta tell you, I'm so excited to be sitting here in this seat where so many asses have sat before. And I always say, God damn it, don't the Breakfast Club want to talk to me?
Yeah.
I want to talk to them. And lo, but I gotta send a shout out to my girl Claudia Jordan,
salute
who
Claudia.
Sort of got the ball rolling. F my boy Eddie F, thank you for, you know, responding finally to our emails and hollering at your girl. So my publicist Mary Moore thanks you. My manager William Lee, I thank you.
You know that's Eddie over there, right in the corner over there.
Is that you in the corner?
Yeah, that's the guy that responded to you.
Use a slow email at responding. I ain't scared because you over there. I'm supposed to be scared. I ain't scared, Eddie F. Is you that music producer, Eddie F guy? Oh, you the fake Eddie F. He ain't even who we thought he was.
It's Lunell. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky, 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 Freaky Friday.
And today, you can call 800-585-105 and you can have phone sex with any one of us you want. All right? That simple. So let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, man? This is CV, man.
CV, turn the radio down, bro.
It's cooling, man. What's Charlamagne at?
Oh, I thought you were going to go Yee, but go ahead.
Hey.
ahead.
You busy this weekend, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Buddy.
Oh, you're going to be really busy with me.
Oh, for real?
You rubbing that bald head of yours.
Okay.
Mm.
What you like, Charlamagne?
Consent, which I haven't given you to talk to me in this way.
Shut up. Go ahead. What would you do, CB?
Oh, it don't matter if you got consent or not. I'll take it from you, baby.
No, yeah. That's exactly why we have a Me Too Times Up movement right now.
So, CV, you in the room with Charlamagne. What are you doing, CV? Are you ripping his clothes off? You taking it off slowly?
He's rubbing his bald head.
I'm ripping his clothes off.
Wow.
I like it rough. I'm going to give it to him rough.
Wow.
Are you a
so
top
you're
or bottom?
You're on top and Charlamagne's on the bottom?
Oh, yeah. You know he's going to be on the bottom.
So, now play it for
everybody. Bill Cosby could use a cellmate.
So now play the scene now. So now you got him, you on top, and what are you saying to him as you insert?
Let me rub that head of yours, Charlamagne. Let me slide it.
I am. Charlamagne is uncomfortable.
Are you gonna
use any type of lubricant or is it just dry and rough?
Oh, you know I'm gonna have some lubricant for him.
That word that you just said, bleeped, that's what would be all over your penis if you ever tried that with me, sir.
Oh, he likes that. You like that, right? Okay. We nasty over here.
Are you going to kiss him?
Yeah, Charlamagne likes it, too. I know he low-key likes it.
No, I don't.
This does.
No, I don't.
Are you going to kiss him, sir?
Hey, you like to get your ass, man.
My woman.
You don't like it.
Okay, not by you.
Thank you, CV.
All right? You and your goddamn bed all on my ass cheeks. I don't want that.
Hey, let him talk. Goodness gracious. Kevin, good morning.
How we doing, Breakfast Club?
Yeah, what's up, man? You want to talk to Charlamagne?
Oh, he definitely want to talk to Charlamagne.
Not at all. I want to talk to Miss Yee.
Okay.
How you doing, Miss Yee?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. All I would need is some ice. I will start
it's
off
freezing
at the
lower
back. That's okay. I'll have the heat on in my living room. Right.
How the ice going to stay cold, idiot?
Oh, no. I'm already there once I see you, especially if her toes is painted red.
Oh,
so I'll already have ice. I'll be licking your small of your back.
Oh, God.
I'm not a salad tosser, so I won't go that well. But I'll definitely be licking you up there. Call me the tornado tongue.
You've been watching too much
the
do the right
thing,
bro.
Tornado tongue? So you're just
and
licking my back?
I'll go to the small of your back. I'll flip you over so quick and give you an F5 down there in your cancer, don't you?
What the hell is an F500?
What's a cancer, don't you?
That's a car?
An F5. Is the strongest tornado.
I thought that was Brock Lesnar's finishing move. I was like, you going to body slam her vagina?
You're not turning me on, man. You got to go. Hello,
it's not
this?
For you, Envy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello? Wow. Oh, whoa. Rewind that. Envy just said, you're not turning me on.
Wow.
Yo, you
Envy got
something
jealous.
Wrong with you on Friday, bro.
Okay, DJ Jealousy, I see you.
Jesus Christ, this guy want to play flag football right now. He want me to tie the flag around my penis.
What? Hello?
Hello?
Yo, you want to go at Charlamagne?
Nah, I want to go at you, Envy.
There you go. Jump,
okay.
Go, get him now.
Equal opportunity here,
go
baby.
Get him.
You know he like a Popeye's biscuit all yellow.
There you go.
Wearing over there.
I have a hoodie on. I have a boxer briefs on, long johns, and jeans.
Okay, he's very explicit. This
you don't
is
have
sexy.
On jeans. You got on sweats.
I'm trying to butter you down and eat you all up.
Mm.
Is this what you call fluidity?
So when you say butter him down, what is this butter consist of?
Oh, boy. Oh, he hung up. All right. Phone sex.
It's not like you hung up on him, Emmy. Stop hanging up on people.
I think you hung up on him, bro.
You wanted some attention and you got it, and now you can't handle it.
I used to call you a waffle-colored Negro because you remind me of a waffle from IHOP. But Popeye's biscuits, especially when they cook right, that's a little bit more your speed,
oh,
huh?
My goodness. All right. Lisa.
Yes.
Who do you want to have phone sex with?
Oh, I'm going to have phone sex with Charlamagne and you, DJ Envy.
Okay, I see it.
We're going to make this a three-way.
We married. Three-way! Three-way!
Go ahead.
We married,
wow,
though.
You want three-way in it, too?
Go ahead, Lisa. Said,
come on, little dirty daddy. I want to know why they call you the God.
Whoa.
Get over here and let me rub on that bald head of yours. And Envy, thank this big ass. I want you to spank it. I want you to spank it, and I want you to make me scream. Can you make me scream, Daddy?
I'm trying.
Envy's a married man. I'm a married man.
He said, I'm trying.
And
I'm
going to be honest with you. What makes me the most comfortable about this whole situation is being naked in a room with DJ Envy. I don't know how that could. I don't know. I don't trust Envy. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't trust my bare buttocks out around Envy.
It's all right.
Charlamagne, it seems like people love that bald head.
A little bit of like meat.
Huh?
Okay.
Like dark
she wants dark meat.
You like dark and white meat? Yeah. And we found out this morning that Envy's a biscuit. So therefore, you'd have some dark meat and a biscuit. Okay?
Thank you, Lisa.
That bald head is getting a lot of attention, Charlamagne.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man, I'm about to cry.
I hated how Envy said, I'm trying.
Try not to laugh.
All right, we got more coming up next. We're the Breakfast Club. EJ, Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are the Breakfast Club. You got a positive note for the people?
Now, the positive note is simply this. You are where you're supposed to be at this very moment. Every experience is part of God's plan.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?